Today is a good day, amen? And today is a day that I want to speak to you about marriages. I believe that February has to be the year or has to be the month in the year where we get this right. We have to get families right. We have to get marriages right. We have to get relationships right. And it doesn't matter your status, whether you are divorced, for example, whether you are single. Doesn't matter. God has got an eye on marriages. God has got an eye on relationships. Can I just see in the house this morning, whoever you are married, come on, just raise your hands. Okay, God bless you. Whoever you guys have been married for 5 years, raise your hands. 10 years. 15 years. 25 years. Come on, whoever you've been married for longer than 30 years in the house. Whoever you've been married for 35 years in the house. Okay, now I'm going to stretch it. Whoever you've been married for 40 years, that's you. You know, that means that God still knows what He's doing when it comes to marriages. Amen. And, you know, as I was thinking about what I want to share with you this morning, there's so much that I can share. But what I felt very much led to share is that I titled the sermon this morning very simply is, and we're going to lay hands as well this morning because I believe that God wants to reclaim marriages. I believe that God wants to reclaim families. God wants to reclaim your households. God wants to reclaim your children. God wants to see you prosper. Amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, very simply, the scripture says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And then please note, he goes on, he says, plans to prosper you. To prosper you. Say with the word prosper. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So I want you to understand, even before we get into this topic of marriage this morning, you have to understand that God has got a plan. He has a design. Are you there? Are you with me? And I want to just say it like this. I titled my sermon this morning, Love Handles. I thought it's nice, but then Facebook blocked us. They said it's against all health regulations that you are saying love handles. But I think it's apt because if you don't handle your marriage will handle you. If you don't take control of it and do it the way God does it, you're going to get yourself into a mess. Amen? Listen, we are the most advanced people in our generation. We have got more technology than ever before. We have more medicine than ever before. Yet we are the most broken people than ever before. That shows us that something has gone wrong. We have taken the Creator and we have taken Him out of His creation. And I want you to get this from the start that when it comes to marriage, you need to know that it was God that said to Adam, Adam, it's not good for a man to be alone. It's not Adam that said to God, listen, I'm alone. God said to Adam, it is not good for a man to be alone. Are you there? That doesn't mean that if you are single, that you are of a lesser status. No, you have to understand, you don't need to be married to be happy. Yeah, come on, all the single people, you can praise God for that. Single means whole. Or how I would often want to say, single means reserved. Single means reserved for the better, for the best, and for that that is yet to come. But God has got a purpose when it comes to your marriage, and His design stays. And I want you to understand something this morning as we share about this, is that when God made Adam, please listen to me carefully. When God made Adam, and everybody that is online, please get this message out. People need to hear this. Please share it. Go for it, guys. I want you to tag that person that you know is struggling in their families this morning. Get them into it. Tag them into it. Because what we're going to share this morning is going to get people whole. So when God, listen to me carefully. When God made Adam, before He made Adam, He made the garden. Right? In other words, He prepared the place before He placed the man in the place. Jesus follows the exact same example. Jesus goes and prepares a place before he takes the bride to the place. The Bible says in John 14, Jesus says, I'm going away from you, but fear not, I've overcome the world. And then he says these words, he says, I go away that I may prepare a place for you so that I can bring you back into that place that I've brought for you. So I want you to understand first and foremost that most marriages are not successful because they're not taking enough time to prepare a place where they can actually live out God's design. Are you there? Are you with me? Come on. And so you have to know that God created Adam, and then when he made Adam, he put him into a specific place. And then it's interesting, the Bible says when God made Adam, he made him, he shaped him, he created him out of the dust of the ground, then he breathed in him the breath of life, and that was a face-to-face transaction. Are you there? That was a face-to-face transaction. But when he made woman, or when he made Eve out of the rib of Adam. And if you study woman just for a moment here, you have to understand that women were created to be shaped to fit a man. Please note, when God made man, he made them Adam and Eve and not Adam and... In actual fact, can I go a little bit deeper here? The word woman in the original Hebrew means carrier of the DNA of the man. Or to have the potential to carry the seed that the man has. I'm going to shake you or shape you this morning and say these words. But you have to understand, it's not the woman that carries the seed, it's the man that carries the seed. So when Satan attacks, he will not attack the woman, he will attack the man. Why does he attack the man? Because the man has the seed. The woman is the carrier of the seed, which produces the DNA. Oh, come on, are you guys there? So for an example, let me just say it like this. Shannon and I, when we come together and we have intimacy, and Shannon produces something that doesn't look like me, something is wrong. Hello? Come on. Come on, are you strong this morning? So we are Caucasian, we are white. If Shannon gives birth to an Indian, hello, come on, there's going to be a question. Like, hey, what happened here? It's amazing that Jesus is called the bridegroom, you are the bride. And when he gives you a seed, 1 James 1:26, the incorruptible seed of God, when he places a seed inside of you, do you know that that seed is meant to birth the supernatural? So everything about his children has to look like him. So by nature, we, the church, are the birthplace of the kingdom of God. Because we are the bride, he's the bridegroom. And he's gone away from us to prepare a place for us so that we can again go to him one day after we've given birth to his assignment. Oh, come on, are you there? What is our assignment on the earth? It's very simple. It is to give birth to the kingdom of God. That is the message that Jesus came for. And I want to go, please tell me this morning that I can go where the Lord takes me. I'm going to go there anyway. I'm just saying this because I love you. But you have to know that one of the pitfalls and one of the things that we don't understand, and I want to go back again to marriage here, is when God made the garden and when God created man and he placed man in that garden and he brought Eve to man, please listen, he brought Eve to stand face to face with Adam. Adam was made to stand face to face with God. Eve was made to stand face to face with Adam. In today's world, the only thing the enemy needs to do to put a marriage under pressure is to introduce something that takes the woman's attention away from the man. Let me use an example. Social media today has taken the place of many things because it's a reflection of who we think we should become. Oh, come on. Are you receptive this morning? Let me go a little bit deeper here. As I read this last night, the Lord said to me that before a man and a woman came together, you have to understand, it was often we'll find in marriage these days, we'll find that it's one spouse serving the other spouse's dream. But do you know that that is not how God designed it? Because God called Adam and God called Eve. Both of them have a dream. Both of them have a purpose. Both of them have a vision given to them by God. Oh, come on, are you there? And so what happens many times, one of the reasons why people get divorced is because either the husband or the wife do not understand the husband or the wife's dream. And so they think it's all about them and they just want to live out their lives, and they believe that the wife or the husband must serve their vision, serve their dream. It's not like that. The Bible says where two or more are placed together, that are placed together for a divine design to see the kingdom of God come. In other words, a husband and a wife are placed together to serve one another to see the kingdom come. Oh, come on, are you there? Let me say it like this, and this is a word that's used too much. If we not too much, it's just used wrongly. If we say submission to the woman all the time, that means the man must be on a mission. Amen. If there's no mission, there's no sub. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. My people scatter for a lack of vision. The reason why so many ladies these days don't understand what is expected from them and have taken up roles that is not meant for them is because men are not driven by vision anymore, and they're not driven by mission anymore. Now we want the women to submit to what? And so if the woman cannot submit, she's going to automatically by default, because she's a caretaker, a woman is a caretaker, she cares, that's natural to her. Are you guys there? What will happen if a man doesn't stand in his rightful place, automatically what will happen is that the woman will take the position of the man because she wants to take care. But here is the big thing. Two heads is a dragon. Come on. You need to bump somebody now. If there's two heads, something is wrong. If a baby comes walking in and it's got two heads, you're going to say, what is this? Come on, marriage is not a war zone. It is a place where a husband and wife understand one another. The Bible says love does not make a marriage work. Knowledge makes a marriage work. Love comes after knowledge. Because if we say love makes a marriage work, listen, there's a lot of people that were crazy and loved once, but now they are divorced. And it's not because that it was love's fault. No, it was the lack of knowledge fault. Come on, guys, can I have an amen on that? Come on, give Jesus some praise offering on that. I said here that marriage has purpose. And the reason I want you to understand is that because it has purpose, it has potential to it. But if I want to pull out its full potential, I have to understand that there's a blueprint and there's a design. I want to go a little bit further with this that you guys can get to what I'm saying. That marriage is not about finding the right person as much as about being the right person. Yeah, come on. People often view marriage, it's true, but people often view marriage as a contract. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant means that it cannot fail. It shouldn't fail. Are you there? Come on. What is a covenant? A covenant means that Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you leave me and forsake me, I'll never leave you. That's covenant. Now, we live in a world where people have, of course, we have changed this. And I understand divorce and I understand all that. I'm going to teach on that as well or preach on that as well. But I want you to understand a contract is something that you do what you do, I do what I do. That is not how a covenant works. A covenant is based on servanthood. A contract is based on rules. So my question to you this morning, is your marriage based on rules or is it based on servanthood? Are you there? Marriage is a place of union for which two can come together for multiplication. Adam and Eve, as I said, Adam and Eve, you have to understand, Adam and Eve was placed in a garden. Say with me, garden. Because they were placed in a garden, automatically it means cultivate. 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 What does cultivation mean? Work at it. A marriage is not successful just because you smile well, you dress well, and you show up. Come on, let's be real for a moment. Marriages are successful because we cultivate them. Oh, can I have some amens on that? Listen, the person that you are married to, they are a spirit, they have a soul, and they live in a body. And what we have to understand about the designs, please know this, there's huge difference between men and women. Men are problem solvers, and women are, let me give you an example. When a lady speaks, she's trying to express her emotion. Okay? So when she talks, she's not wanting a man to solve the problem. She is saying something because she wants to be heard. Come on. But if the problem with men is this, men want to solve the problem. Because by natural inclination, they are solvers. But you see, the problem is that the game has changed so dramatically in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Think about it. 20 years ago, if you were an older person, if you supplied to your family, you were a good man. Now, the pressure is that you have to be in touch emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Come on, are you there? And so if the man is at work, and think with me, guys. If a man works all the time, then it means that emotionally there's a lack. There's a spiritual lack. So the game has shifted all the time for us. And now what's happening and what's taking place is that we are finding that more and more things has to be cultivated. You have to cultivate emotionally, you have to cultivate spiritually, and you have to cultivate personalities. And may I say, if I can give you one of the greatest tips that I would ever give is this. Please take time to cultivate a person's personality before you marry them. Oh, come on. You have to understand them emotionally, you have to understand them spiritually, and you have to understand them physically. If you don't take time of it, because it's not a rush, you don't need to do it quick. If you don't take time to cultivate your garden and make sure that it is the right person, you're going to marry yourself into an issue that you want to get out of. Listen, give yourself two things. Give yourself time and give yourself the ability to see a person under pressure. Because when people go under pressure, who they are comes out. I'll say this as a joke, but it's true. Give people slow internet and see what happens. No, listen, you have to understand, men and women have different personalities. And I don't know what your personality is, but learn one another's personalities so that you can be the best couple there is. Come on, are you there? Because personalities are different and we have to cultivate them. Then as I say, and I wanted to say this because I believe it's so true, is that God does not command marriage. Marriage is a choice. You don't need to be married to be happy. You see, what most people do, listen to me carefully. What most people do, they believe that when they get married or when they get with another person, that person will make them whole. That's false. People cannot make you whole. In actual fact, if we get married to let other people make us whole, what's going to happen is we're going to place pressure on another person that they cannot carry. And what's going to, in time, what's going to happen, that person will buckle under pressure because they've not been created to handle that pressure. They've been created to be whole themselves. So now you bring them in an unwhole situation. They don't know what to do. Oh, come on. Are you there? Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. So God does not command marriage. Marriage is a choice. You don't need to be married to be happy. And then I wanted you to catch this morning. A man is created to have a vision, and woman is created to be a helper. And I'll say it because I think it's sometimes, you know, people don't like it, but it's true. A man has to be driven by vision. Then he needs help. But why does a man need help if he doesn't have a mission? If he doesn't have a vision? Come on, are you there? If I want to know how healthy a marriage is, I only need to ask the question, how healthy is the children? Because the seed will speak to the parents. Come on. Oh, it's getting silent. Don't get silent on me now. So something, if you have to understand this, the number one reason, again, I say, is that love does not make a marriage work. Knowledge makes a marriage work. And there's too many broken people out there. Listen, guys, we are sitting in a situation right now in the world. Do you know that we have the highest divorce rate? We have the highest anxiety rates. We have the highest depression rates that we've ever had. Why? Because the enemy is attacking families fiercely in this hour, more than ever before. And because the pressure goes up, if we don't know who we are and we don't find our identity, what's going to happen is we're going to crumble under that pressure. And this is how the devil does it. Please listen carefully. This is how the enemy does it. Very, very simple. The enemy cooks that marriage from the inside out, slowly but surely. He does not come with a pitchfork in his hand and red horns on his head. No, the devil comes and he makes them sin a little bit at a time. And before they know it, what happens is he has taken over dominion over that family. Oh, do you know that the Bible says that when God placed Adam in the garden, he told them, have dominion and multiply. Then God said, listen to me carefully. Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. That's in the beginning text. But then when Adam fell, the Bible turns the picture around. It says not image and likeness. It says likeness and image. So when we were made, we were made in the image and in the likeness. In other words, we looked like God and we had all these abilities. But when man fell, God turned it around and he said, now let's make man, or man is now in his likeness, but now we need to learn to become like his image. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 29, become the image of Jesus. Oh, come on, are you guys there? Oh, please just celebrate the Lord for a moment. Don't just sit still. And if I can say it like this, if I ask men this morning the question, how many men feel under attack? Most men will put up their hands. Why are men under attack? Because Satan is after the seed. That's why when the devil came to Jesus, the question was not, are you the Messiah? The question was not, are you the Christ? The question was not, are you the prophet? The question was, are you the Son? Why? Satan understood if he was the Son and he believed he was the Son, he would be able to reproduce. So let me say it like this. If you are here this morning as a husband, as a man, you have the ability to reproduce victory. You have the ability to reproduce that what God wants you to do in your life. You have the ability to overcome everything that will ever come in your past, but you are the carrier of that divine enablement. You enable your family. And so we have a choice to make. We can
enable our families.
Come on, are you guys with me?
And so there's five ways, simple things. There's five ways to get a grip on your marriage. Save me five ways. Way number one, forever be a student of the person you love. Be a student and learn everything you can. Come on, guys, this morning I'm teaching you, be a student. Don't say to yourself, I understand this woman or I understand this man. No. Study them. Take time to study them. Take time to look them in the eyes and study them. Point number two, five ways to take a grip out on your marriage. Very simple. Listen, you have to understand the difference between hell and heaven in your marriage is marriage is exactly like a vehicle. You have to know what fills it up. Can I say it again? I can drive a car. I can have a vehicle. I can have it parked in the garage. It can be the best vehicle there is. It can be shiny on the outside. But if I don't put petrol into that thing, I'm going nowhere. Many marriages are two people being together. They're under one roof, but they don't know why they're there. It's true. Understand what fuels your marriage. You have to go to God. Oh, come on. Thirdly, this is a strong one, but it's one of those things that we have to be able to do. In a marriage, you have to forgive in advance. I would want to say this, forgive long before the issue comes. Forgive in advance. Before the issue arrives, forgive already. Forgive in advance. Give grace in advance. Give love in advance. Come on, guys. Are you there? Then be present. Be open. Come home. There are too many people these days. They are there, but they're not there. Come on, am I talking the truth to you or not? We have to be present. We have to be home. Time waits for nobody. It's not going to wait for you. It's not going to wait for your children. And it's definitely not going to wait for your spouse. And before you know it, that child is going to grow up and you did not spend that appropriate time that you should have spent and made the investment. I want you to understand something. Church, no, let me reword myself. It is not the church's responsibility to raise up your family. It is your responsibility to train your family to be in church. It is your responsibility to train your children in the way that they should go. And when they are older, they will return to it. Oh, come on, are you guys there? And may I say this, you have to know this, when God calls you, He'll always place you. God will never, ever, 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 and I find this amazing, but God will never, ever call you outside of the family context, ever. How do I know that's true? Think about Jesus just for a moment. Jesus walks through the crowd, a lady with the issue of blood, she grabs hold of his garment. And the Bible says this, he turns around and he asks this question. He says, daughter, who touched me? Or he asked the question, who touched me? She, knowing that she cannot escape what happened, said, I touch you. And then he says these words, daughter. In other words, Jesus introduces people immediately to the family context. Come on, are you there? When he teaches his disciples to pray, he says, therefore you pray as follows, Ah. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done. As it is in heaven, let it be so on earth. So if family is so important for the Lord, that is why family is so heavily under attack. Because Satan understands if a family can be dismantled, then he can overtake a society. That is why men today are under attack more than ever before. That is why women are under attack more than ever before. The enemy is after the family. Why is he after the family? Simple, because if he got the family, he's got the community. So if men start to do what they are not supposed to do and women are not doing what they're not supposed to do, what is happening? It's not that small family that the enemy is after. No, that's not his game. His game is the community. He wants a city. He wants a nation. Where does he start? With the family. Oh, come on. Are you there? Come on, let's just give Jesus again. I just want you guys to get this. So again, I say, I'll give you one or two more thoughts because I want to pray this morning. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and not a future. But I want you to see things. It's His plan. Are you there? It's His design. And as I was writing these things down during this week, I asked myself, what is the most common pitfall? What is the most common pitfall that I would say? And there's a couple, but I'll give you one or two. What is the most common pitfall for why marriages never reach their full potential? Reason number one. Very simple, but it's going to help. There's a failure to celebrate one another. There's a failure to celebrate one another. And what our era has done for us, our era has introduced us to something called comparison. And as soon as you start to compare, you lose your joy of purpose. It's true what I'm saying. The guys that are online, share, get the word out. It's very true what I'm saying. So we have to be able to celebrate one another. Oh, come on, guys, are you there? And then secondly, and I'll close with this thought, and then we're going to pray, we're going to lay hands. Is that most marriages fail is simply because that place of appreciation and validation is never met. Are you there? Because all human beings have got two things inside of them. They want to know they are appreciated. They want to know if they're validated. If they don't get appreciation and validation at home, they're going to go look for it. Can we talk honest with family, right? So let me tell you what happens in today's world. I think most men are actually good men. Most women are actually good women. And so they don't want to get validation and they don't want to get affirmation outside their homes. And so what they do, they bring something inside of their homes to dull the validation and the affirmation that they need. So they start to drink. They start to use pills. They start to isolate themselves. Come on, am I talking true? They start to introduce things into the home, but the heart's need is validation and affirmation. And so what happens, fathers, please listen to me this morning. Do we have fathers here this morning? I want you to get this, dads. Please listen to me for a moment. If you don't validate and affirm your kids that are in your house, let's say for an example, I've got four women in my house. Wife of 17 years, one wife forever and ever, and three girls. Right? Now listen, I want you to understand something. Dads, listen to me. If you don't affirm that child, let's take my context. If I don't affirm that child, if I don't tell that daughter that she's beautiful, that she's pretty, that the way that she's growing up is awesome, that the way that her, and I'm not being here polluted, and I'm not here being weird about it. What I'm saying is that there is a pure way for a dad and a mom to affirm their children so that their children can be validated and affirmed in the house. Are you there? Because as children grow up, what's happening is they are asking the question, who is affirming me and who is validating me. And so as a father and a mother, you have to validate your children as they are growing up. You have to give them their identity. You have to say to them, listen, the way you're growing up is beautiful. The way you are shaping is beautiful. The way that we see your womanhood coming out is beautiful. The way we see your manhood is coming out is beautiful. The way that you are shaping is beautiful. Because here's the bottom line. If you don't say that and you don't bring that validation and you don't bring that affirmation, there is some loser on the outside that's going to come in and he's going to bring your daughter and your son's affirmation and validation, and then they will slip out of your house and they will do things that they should have been doing. But it has your, you have the power to affirm. Oh, come on, are you there? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son, not their son, my son. Long before Jesus started his ministry, he was validated by the Father. He was affirmed by the Father. You sit here this morning, you have the ability to affirm. Oh, come on. Do you know the power that you carry? Come on, give Jesus a praise offering, us a belief. Do you want to see your families healthy? Do you want to get your families back to that space of strength and health and blessing that the Lord has for you? Then it's a choice away. I'll close with this thought, and because this is going to help us a lot. Guys, are you ready to change? Again, I say families are under onslaught like never before. And I think we need to know who we are, when we are, how we are made. It's crucial. And I'll close with one or two thoughts, and then I want to pray for you. God has got a plan, and His plan is beautiful. He wants marriages to be places where His Spirit can come and rest. He wants children to be peaceful. He wants children to be activated into their eternal destinies. But moms and dads, marriages, if you don't cultivate your gardens, there's an unwanted visitor that will come in. And that unwanted visitor will speak to your children, will speak to your wife, or speak to your husband even. And it's amazing, the Bible says, please listen, I'll close with this. When Eve took the apple, we think it was, you know, let's blame it on apples. When Eve took the apple, God was not on the scene. He left it. But when Adam took it, God came onto the scene. Why? There's a divine order. And so when Adam didn't do what he was supposed to be doing, and you can ask me the question this morning, but what should I be doing? Three things. You have to lead your family spiritually. You have to lead your family emotionally. And you have to lead your family physically. You cannot give that responsibility to anybody else. It belongs to you. And if I can get this one thing right today, dads to stand in their places again, then we're going to have healthy families as a start. Can you feel the Spirit of the Lord? Amen. Why is He here? Because He wants to heal families. Amen. He wants men and women to be face to face again. He wants to restore divine intimacy. We have to get our families back in order. And so this morning I'm going to pray, and I want to pray for all the husbands and the wives. Because the anointing does not discuss the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. And I believe as I prayed during this week, the Lord said to me, there are people here, you have generational struggles that God wants to break. Can I say again, I feel the Spirit of the Lord just takes me there again. Men, you have to be on a mission for a woman to be sub. But there's also a false teaching where we say women be in submission. But hey, when the Lord made them, He made them with a dream. So God has got as much a dream for the woman as was He have of a man. So how does this work? I'll close with this. The woman is in submission to the man. The man serves the woman. Together, they are a representation of us. Not me, us. Us. Oh, the power of us. I need to stop. But there's so much power in that. So what I want to do this morning is I want to pray for couples. And as the guys are online as well, is we need to get the order back. We need to get men that take up their rightful places. Come on. And we need to see families whole again. So this morning, I want to pray for marriages. And as I pray for you and as I anoint you, we're going to see a shift happening again take place. And as the guys are online with me, I want you to be able to comment. Guys, comment your family's name or your husband and wife's name. But everybody inside here, we're going to set things straight today. There's a rule, and here's the rule. Have a short list when it comes to your spouse. Forgive quickly. Forgive rapidly and forgive in advance. If I can teach couples anything, it's just this, forgive in advance. Yeah, amen, come on. Amen. And so if that's you, marriages, I want married couples, I want to pray for you, I want to lay hands on you. So if that's you this morning, please will you come out and step to the front, to the volunteers, you guys can be ready. And let's pray for every marriage today. Every marriage. We want to pray for every single marriage. So you guys are welcome to come. 1, 2, 3, come. Let's step out of our seats. Everybody that is online, I want you, all the different locations, you guys are welcome also to start to pray, but I want you to stay just with the streams because we're not done. Look how many married couples are here. Can I ask the worship team to come? Let's pray. I want you as husband and wife. Please hold hands. Please hold hands. And I first want to do something before we're going to pray. No, let me do it after we pray. Father, thank you that this morning we can pray over every couple. We agree that every one of these families
will be divinely touched in this day. In Jesus Christ's name. We pray for a restoration of husband and wife. We pray for a divine restoration, Lord Holy Spirit. We know you can do things that we cannot do. In Jesus' name. Let's just take the Orabakat Rebesh, Rabakot Rubush, Rabakara Bakat Rebesh, Rebet Rebesh, Zaba on Rubush. Let's just worship the Lord, Aiden. Come on, let's just push up.
Can I ask us to just stand for one moment, everybody? And everybody that's online, I want you guys, if that's families online that we haven't yet prayed for, I want us to make a declaration today. Is that fine? I'm going to pray for you because there's something that God wants to do in your families. You know, as I laid hands now, what happens is that I wanted to feel where families are at. And families are under attack, but we're going to take them back. We're going to see houses being filled again. Yes, Holy Spirit. We're going to see houses being filled of joy again. We're going to see finances being released. And as I was laying hands here, the Lord said to me, watch me lay finances upon people and release that to them. What I wanted to do just for one second, and everybody that's online, follow us with this as well, is I want husband and wife just to turn to one another. Just to turn to one another and take one another's hands. Husband and wife. Your husband and wife turn to one another, hold one another's hands, and just say the simple sentence. Say, I love you. I accept you. You must mean what you say. I accept you. I love you unconditionally. I want you to know. I trust you. I appreciate you. And I validate you. And from this day, I forgive you in advance. I apply grace in advance. You are my only love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, you can give that wife or that husband a kiss in church. That's all good. Give them a hug or a kiss or whatever. Amen. Listen, church, I want to pray just for all of us, then I'm just going to say one or two things. Your families have to be blessed. Your families have to be restored. Your families have to be whole. Your families are the places that we're going to see restored in this month of February. Oh, are you there? We're not going to take anything for granted. We're going to see each and every one of these places being restored. So, Father, I want to pray for every single person. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, right now, that, Lord, as I've spoken your word, Father, I pray that your word will find a fruitful place, and that fruitful place will become a forest. Lord, I pray for every family represented here this morning. Father, I pray that in this day, they'll be touched, they'll be changed, they will be reverberated, recalibrated for that that is to come. Father, I pray that you'll put your hand of protection upon families. Father, I pray that you'll put your hand of protection upon husbands, hand of protection upon wives, that they will fulfill the promise, the purpose, the assignment of their lives in Jesus Christ's name. And if you agree with that prayer, husbands and wives, say amen and amen and amen. I want us to do two things. I'm just going to ask Pastor Eric to come again. There's two things I want us to do this morning, and I want us to do it differently. One thing I want us to do differently is the way we bring tithes and offerings to the house of the Lord. I have been teaching you, and I'll say it again. Last week I showed you how that when God gives you things, it is the first that belongs to the Lord, right? You know, during this week, we've heard incredible testimonies. People that gave their first fruits, God gave them vehicles back. It's been happening quick. There's many testimonies we can share, and we will share of them. But what I wanted to do differently this morning, I wanted the men. And if you are here as a woman, that's fine. Then you do it on behalf of your family. But I wanted families to be represented. Are you there? And as we give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord, that belongs to the Lord, that you do that as the head of your house. God cannot bless your house if you are not the head. He can't do it like this. He has to do it from the top down. Are you there? And I know that there will be women here, that your men are not here. They will be here. They will be saved. They will be restored. They will worship Jesus with you. They shall come to the house of the Lord. But that's how I want us to give this morning, please. Because there's something, there's a divine thing that the Lord spoke to me about, an order that I want to set in place. Is that okay? So can we do that this morning? And so, Father, I pray for over every single person, every husband, every wife, Lord, as they give this morning, I pray, thank you, God, that they give their first to you first. And I pray that as husbands do it this morning, that there's a seriousness in how you see it, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Let's go and give, guys. You're welcome. You can give there at the back. You can come here to the front. There's various giving spaces. You can give online. Let's do so, and let's do so now. Let's go and give. Thank you. All the men, jump to your feet. Let's worship.
And 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you, and 1,000 generations, and your family, and their children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you, and 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
before you.
Speak of your people, Lord, as we just sang, they will be blessed. They will be the head and not the tail. Father, I speak over you, over the, all your people, Lord, if we just made that declaration, Lord, that you are with them all the days of their lives. Never will you leave them, never will you forsake them. Father, I speak over their lives this morning. They will know it, how it is and how it, what it means to conquer. Father, I pray in this morning, I speak over every person here, every single person that's in Empower Church, watching us and online and all across our locations. Father, that in this day, Lord, I can proclaim over my people, your people, Father, that they will prosper. They will be in everything successful. They'll be people of high worth. They'll be people of divine value. And they will be people of favor. The favor of the Lord will go with you. The favor of the Lord will go in front of you. The favor of the Lord will head you in at the back. The favor of the Lord will head you in on the side. The favor of the Lord will head you in on your left and on your right. As you go in front of you, I will go with you, says the Lord. I will make a way where there seems to be no way. Dry places will become fruitful places for you. Wherever you go, I go, says the Lord. I know it in this morning that you might have come through a desert season, but now I call your desert a fruitful place. And you will see how I move in front of you in power. Yes, you will. You will see how I create something out of nothing. You will see how I will bless you, how I will pour my oil upon you. Sickness will not come near your house. Poverty will not visit you in the night. Thieves will not come and steal, for I am the Lord your banner. I am Jehovah Nissi. I am the Lord that protects you. And this is my covenant of you, says the Lord. As long as you dwell in the house of the Lord, I will bless you with my mercy and my goodness all the days of your life. You will not lack. You will not lack any good thing, for I will supply all your needs according to the riches of Christ Jesus. For this is my word to you, says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of all, Jesus himself. And in this day, Father, I put my mouth with your mouth and I speak over your blessing, your goodness, and your provision over your people in Jesus' name. If you receive that, say amen and amen. Come on, Empower. Let's give him one more praise offering. I want to ask just especially just two things before you just keep standing, as also Eric just wants to say one or two things. So just at the end, I want to just ask you two things. One, Empower, I want every single person to register for Soul Health. Everybody, please register. We have about 300 people registered thus far, and it's climbing the whole time. The reason why I want you to be registered is because I want the people to journey this year. Are you there? So register for Soul Health and make sure you register. It's not like any other course I've ever done. This is a very unique course, and I wanted to take time to ask you to register for it. Secondly, on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, come and pray with me. There is a seriousness of prayer that the Lord wants from us. What do we do on Tuesday nights? So come and join me in prayer on a Tuesday night at 6. But I want you to take time, whether it's online this morning or in the house, take time, register for Soul Health. I know you guys like to wait like to 99.99999. So that is not over. Please come and register. Is that fine? So lastly, maybe just from my side, I will say it until the day He fetches me. You need to know that we pray for you, we love you, and we go to war for you every single day of our lives. We pray for you as a church. And even though I don't know every single face, I know most of you. You need to know you are in a praying church, not just a church. Amen? So you are prayed for. So I love you, and I'll see you tonight. Pastor Eric, thank you so much. Guys, take time. Again, I say register, register, register. Make sure you do, and then we'll see one another tonight. Amen.
Please remain standing just for a moment. If I can have a minute of your time, I'd love us to pray before we go. And this morning, I want us to pray for families that's not here this morning. Is that all right? Come on, God's doing incredible things in our times together, and He's going to do incredible things in the month of February as we journey just around families. But there's families in our community, and I include different families connected to our locations as well, that needs to be here on Sundays. We had husbands and wives standing here without their spouses next to them. And it is our privilege as a family to pray for their families and call in husbands and wives in this day, that as we journey through this month, that we will have couples coming to church together. Come on. And that we will have families in our community come to church, people that's never been here. And I want us to be as bold as to pray that as people drive past this place, not just on a Sunday, that their hearts would yearn to come to church on a Sunday. That there would be this longing, this drawing that takes place. And that we would have families come to church. And we know that as they come, as they walk through these doors, that God will encounter them. Come on. Can we put our faith together? Stretch out a hand to your community. Just if you're online, just stretch out a hand in whatever direction. And let's pray for our community. Father, we pray in this day, let there be a mighty move in our community when it comes to the restoration of families. Lord, we call in every husband and wife that was not standing next to their spouses this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you are the God that moves the hearts and men of women. We pray in this day, by the Spirit of God, let the hearts of men and women be moved. We thank you for the restoration of marriages, and we call forth families from our community, and we include communities represented online as well. Father, let families be drawn to this house. Let people come to this place to meet with you. And we thank you as Empower Church in this day, by faith, for a divine restoration in families. And if you agree with that prayer, come on, let's give a shout of amen together. Amen and amen. Bless you. Thank you for being with us today. See you at 5. Everybody online, thank you so much for joining us. Have an incredible Sunday afternoon. We'll see you tonight. Bless you.